Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. I am so excited. We have such a jam-packed, wonderful show today. We have Charlie Carver, who is a gorgeous young gentleman who you guys know from Teen Wolf. He was in The Leftovers. He was in Desperate Housewives. And now he's going to be on Broadway. He's doing Boys in the Band with Zachary Quinto and Matt Bomer. It's produced by Ryan Murphy. And God, am I missing someone? I mean, I'm missing a lot of wonderful men in that play, but he's going to be doing Broadway, and he's here to talk about pop culture stuff that's going on in the news. We have a lot going on. We also are going to recap Roni. We're going to recap the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills finale, which was a snooze fest. You guys, it was rough. Before we do all that, oh, I also have Miss Vanjie on. Miss Vanjie. You guys, Miss Vanjie's become a superstar, okay? An internet sensation. You guys know her from RuPaul's Drag Race. She was only on one episode, but everyone is talking about Miss Vanjie, and I think Miss Vanjie comes back. And maybe you'll hear a little bit more about that in the interview. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about Patreon. Now, I know some of you have no idea what the hell Patreon is, but I'm going to keep explaining it until you're all over there. So if you go to patreon.com/everythingiconic, you can listen to bonus episodes of Everything Iconic. You get Real Housewives of New York recaps. I'm doing season one. We're also going to be recapping some other fun stuff over there. And so for $4 or more, you get access to all the bonus episodes, all the bonus content each month. And we're doing some really fun stuff there. And I want to thank everyone that's already joined the Everything Iconic Patreon, because you guys are helping make this podcast great. Anything you pledge helps. But for $4 or more, if you pledge that amount, then you get the bonus episode. So I don't know, we're just having a lot of fun over there, and we have so many exciting things coming up on the podcast. We have some great guests lined up, you guys. I can't wait for you to hear next week's episode. We have coming up next week, should I tell him, Whitney? I should tell him. Okay, we have Kristen Cavallari from The Hills in Laguna Beach and E! And she's got a new show on E! Coming out called Very Cavallari. She's coming back to reality TV. We have her on, okay? We have Nikki Blonsky from the movie Hairspray. You guys, we have Daniel Franzese, who played Damien in the movie Mean Girls. We have Ashley Parker Angel from O-Town. You guys, it is a night out at Ledoux. We are spending a night at Ledoux. We are pretending we're at Ledoux. The reason I moved to LA was because of Ledoux. I swear, that's the reason I packed up my bags and moved from the Midwest to sunny California, because I saw Ledoux on the hills. And so we are doing a whole episode dedicated to Ledoux, a night out at Ledoux with those iconic people from the early 2000s. I mean, can they be any better? Can the guests be any better? That's my Chandler, Whitney. That's my Chandler. I'm so Valerie Cherish. I feel like I'm Valerie and you're Jane, Whitney, right? Mm-hmm. So you guys, that episode is going to be so good. Oh my God, I can't wait for everyone to hear it. And I wanted to keep it a surprise, but you know what I'm telling you now. So that'll be next week. Subscribe. Make sure you tell a friend to subscribe, because if you subscribe, then you'll get the episode as soon as it comes out. Please rate and review it on iTunes if you get a chance. Find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. And thank you to all the people who have written reviews of the show, because I read them all and they're so fantastic. So before I bring up my guest, Charlie Carver, there is something really important that I really have to tell you guys. And I know everyone's been reaching out to me on social media and asking for updates on Martha, who cleans my apartment. I can't even say housekeeper, because this is not a house. This is a tiny little apartment. But everyone's been asking me about Martha updates, because I have, you know, talked about her on the show quite a bit, and she loves when I talk about her on the show. And you guys, the last time she was over, she was with a new person. So she used to come with Juan, who is her husband, or partner in crime. But this last time she came with a woman named Mary, you guys, and Mary is no nonsense. Mary is no bullshit. And you guys, when they came over, Martha wanted me to tell Mary what happened. Okay, Martha wanted me to tell Mary exactly, like, about the podcast and what happened with Martha. And Martha was so proud of everything that happened that she just wanted me to tell Mary what happened. So I started telling Mary about Martha having violent diarrhea in my apartment. Okay, like, I told the story about how Martha threw me out of the way, went in my bathroom, and we all heard it. Okay, you guys have heard that story before, but it's a very gross story, and I didn't want to tell it. I mean, I was not interested in telling Mary the story, but Martha literally forced me to tell it. And Mary was just looking at me as if, you know, she was watching a serious drama. It was like she was watching Handmaid's Tale. She was not interested. She did not find this story funny. She didn't get it. She wasn't into blue humor. And Martha was still just cracking up, okay? And then Martha doubled down, okay? Martha did a little bit of a bit. While I was telling Mary this story, I just wrapped up the story about Martha's bowels. Martha did something that was very upsetting. She scurried over to the bathroom. She kind of did like a fake run to the bathroom. And then when Mary and I were just confused as to what was going on, Martha poked her head around the corner and said, "Just kidding." She said, "Just kidding." So she was doing a little comedy bit as if she was, you know, using the restroom. And it was, Mary was not amused, you guys. Mary did not want any of it. And it was so awkward and so uncomfortable. But Martha is just so proud of her violent bowels that she just had to do the bit. She couldn't resist. And you know what? I love it. Martha, I know you're listening, so thank you. I hope you're performing that bit somewhere else, because I even though it didn't go well here, I think you should still keep doing it. You should need to keep on keeping on. And I hope you'll bring Mary back, because I have a feeling that Mary's going to bring us some joy in the future. But anyway, I just wanted to give you guys that little quick update, because everyone is asking me about Martha, and everyone's like, "Is she okay? How's her stomach? Is she still eating frozen Pop-Tarts?" And it's like, you know, I can't have Martha updates every week because, frankly, I can't afford to have my apartment clean once a week. It's too expensive, Whitney. It sure is. It sure is. Now, I want to bring out my guests, you guys. Charlie Carver, again, you guys know him from Teen Wolf. He is a gorgeous out gay actor, which is so important. I mean, he's a young out gay actor, which is very important. And he's doing Boys in the Band on Broadway, which was an iconic show. I think it was came 50 years ago. The boys came 50 years ago. And now they're reviving it on Broadway. It was a movie too, Boys in the Band. So I'm so excited to talk to him, and I'm going to ask him about Terry Hatcher, because we need to know about Terry Hatcher. But stick around after my interview with Charlie, because we also have Miss Vanjie coming up, and Whitney and I are going to recap The Real Housewives of New York and The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills finale. So stick around. All right. All right, guys, I'm here with Charlie Carver. He is a beautiful gay man.
Thank you.
A beautiful out gay man, correct?
Yes.
Yes, okay, I was like, I hope I'm not. And you are Broadway bound. You're doing Boys in the Band.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about it.
Gosh, I mean, it's a really exciting project. I think this is the 50th year. Actually, last week was the 50th anniversary of when it premiered off-Broadway downtown in New York. You know, it's sort of a slice of life of 1968, 67, about these gay men who show up at their friend's birthday party and hilarity and shame ensue.
And it's like a huge gay cast. Matt Bomer, yeah. Jim Parsons.
Andrew Rannells. My God, the list
Ryan
goes
Murphy's
on.
Producing.
Ryan Murphy's producing. Joe Mantello, who was in the original cast of Angels in America, you know, multiple Tony winner Jesus. For directing is directing. Like it's great. And were rehearsal's been really, really fun.
So. Were you intimidated starting rehearsals?
Oh no.
You liar. You're a liar. Lying.
No, I actually it's been a really comfortable, fun process so far. But of course showing up, you're kind of like,
Yeah.
What could this be?
Matt Bomer follows me on Twitter, and ever since that happened, I've been nervous about everything I tweet. Like, I'm worried that I'm going to disappoint him. And so I can only imagine what it's like. Now, I want to ask you more about that, but I do have to get in some Desperate Housewife questions.
Sure.
You were in Desperate Housewives, and I'm obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. You played Felicity Huffman's son with your twin brother.
I did.
How was it working on that show?
You know, I had the best time. Every kind of family in the show was siloed off. So we were mainly with Felicity and our dad, Doug. And that was a really cool unit. I'd grown up really knowing who Felicity was just because we went to the same high school and stuff. And it was a blast. But yeah, I mean, it was a legendary set.
Yes, I know.
Sure.
So that's what I want to ask. So tell me about Nicolette Sheridan.
Nicolette Sheridan. God, she was a pistol. I just remember...
I have goosebumps. I'm like so excited right now. You have no idea.
Well, what was so crazy about that show was that we had a practical set, you know. We would we had our base camp, but then every day we would like take a van over to Wisteria Lane. You'd have this whole suburban world.
Speaking of van, have you seen Terry Hatcher's web series?
No, I haven't. I heard, I will shoot down that rumor right now. She hasn't been living in her van.
Yeah.
But did she make a web series because of it?
No. You know, I've watched every episode and I still have no answers as to why it happened, but it's like two different series. So it's like a cooking show, which is mesmerizing. Like it is so, so good. And then she has a show where she like invites people into her van. Like she goes around town and like, it sounds crazy and it is crazy, but it's like wonderful crazy, I think. But she invites people in her van and she just chats with them like, you know, like we're doing now. She just chats about kind of everything. And it's almost like a mini therapy session. I'm not kidding you. A couple weekends ago, I was like sitting in a Terry Hatcher YouTube hole.
Tears.
Yeah, tears. And also I was like getting really upset just at the gay community in general because there was only like 3,000 views per video.
Oh.
I was like, what? Where's
shame on us.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. But.
That's an original housewife, you know?
I know. Yeah. That show was so good. It's so classic, iconic. And also, did people hate Terry Hatcher?
No, I thought Terry was the sweetest. I think, I don't know. I mean, anytime you get
people,
yeah. I don't want to generalize, but anytime you get, I think, you know, like a bunch of actresses on a set, like there's going to be actressy stuff, but I mean, she always took care of me.
So yeah.
I thought she was great.
That photo shoot they did, I think it was Vanity Fair. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but that one photo shoot was like legendary and there was an SNL sketch about it. I would just love to be on that set. I would have loved, I wish I could go back in time.
I mean, talk about diva in the best way. You know what I mean? Like not a set diva, but just some big
personality.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it was fun. It was really fun.
Do you have a favorite diva? Speaking of divas, like, is there like a singer, a female singer you love?
You know, I alternate. I was growing up, I was really more of like in the Lilith Fair camp. So I think my divas are a little less loud, but I'll put Shania Twain.
Yes.
Or Celine Dion.
Celine. You know. Oh my God. Have you seen her live in Vegas?
No.
Charlie, get out of here right now.
I know.
Leave this apartment and go see her. She's so, so good.
Covered in rose petals and
I know, you know,
French Canadian accents.
Somebody asked me what I would do if I won the lottery. And I was like, I would go see Celine and I would do the meet and greet because like I really wanted to do the meet and greet, but it's very expensive. And the closest I've gotten is she has like a wax figure outside of the Coliseum where she performs and you can like pose with it. I have like a whole roll of photos from it.
See what I would do. I would find somebody who I could marry for their passport so I could get citizenship somewhere else. And I would pay Celine Dion to sing at my wedding.
I like that.
That's what I would do if I won the lottery.
I like that.
Yeah.
Are you dating anyone now?
I am, yeah.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about him? What's your type?
I don't have a type.
Yeah.
They've really run the gamut.
Really?
He's great. He works in healthcare, which is...
That's nice.
Very nice. Very productive and...
And you get prescriptions. And
yeah, exactly. And I've got my in.
So I want to talk about Boys in the Band again. Have you worked with any of those boys before?
I had. I'd worked with Tuck on Desperate Housewives and Zach. We did a movie together like 4 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah, I am Michael.
I am Michael. Right?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then you were also in Teen Wolf. You were in The Leftovers. I'm going to talk about those. We have like a little lightning round at the end.
Uh-oh.
But before I do, have you seen on Twitter? Are you on? You're on Twitter, right?
I am, yeah.
Have you seen the film Struck 4 thing? It's like a hashtag, and it's like the four films that made you fall in love with cinema.
Oh.
And so I have like my four lists, and I was wondering if you have your four. Like, are there four movies that you remember that were being instrumental as you were a kid? Of like,
as a child? Yeah, I do.
What are they?
Oh, man. Do you remember Now and Then?
Of course I do. Yeah. Rosie O'Donnell, her most iconic roles.
We'll go with Now and Then.
That whole cast, I mean, Demi Moore, Rita Wilson, who was the, Melanie Griffith.
Christina Ricci.
Bonnie Hunt. You know, I love Bonnie Hunt. So much.
Yeah.
I love her so much.
What happened to Bonnie?
You know what? That's a whole nother episode.
We'll figure this out.
That's a whole nother episode. I'm obsessed with her. Okay, so Now and Then.
Then I became like a huge Thor Birch fan. Do you remember Thor Birch?
Of course, yeah. How old are you?
I'm 30.
Yeah, we're like the same age.
Yeah.
I'm 30. How old am I? 32. I just told someone recently, I was like, I'm 34. And I was like, I'm not 34. Like, why did I say that? I just forgot her name.
Onset.
I know. It's sad. Yeah. Oh, so Thora Birch. You fell in love with her. She was in that movie about the mountain. Not Cold Mountain, but it was like, do you remember that? Whitney, do you remember that? Bear Mountain or something? I saw it with my mom.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Her and Christina Ree. No, Thora Birch and... Do you know what I'm talking about,
I do know what you're talking
about. Yeah. My mom should have known I was gay because I asked her to take me to this movie. It was like two young female leads.
Oh, same. Yeah. You know, Andre about the seal was about the most mask I got. Because my next movie was Fried Green Tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sister Act.
Sister Act was so good.
Sister Act 2.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, I feel like I should throw a classic in there. You know, I don't know when it, I forget when it came out, maybe like 96, but The Fifth Element was the one.
That's that, Mask.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that just like blew my mind back then for some reason.
You know, I was going to ask you separately, like, what are the gay movies? Like the movies that made you realize you were gay, but those were all gay. Those were all gay. So,
I thought that was the, you know,
I mean,
Jack
it's similar. So I would say like my list for the movies that like made me fell in love with movies. Mm-hmm. I have You've Got Mail. Mm-hmm. It's like my all time favorite. Aladdin, which made me fall in love with like comedy and music. Mm-hmm. Why are you laughing, Whitney? What are you laughing at?
That's one of your top four.
Yes, Aladdin.
Well, this is we're talking childhood, right?
Yeah, like, childhood. Well, like the movies, ones that made you fall in love with the movies.
Okay. As children.
There's nothing funny about that,
as
Whitney.
As children.
How dare you?
I mean, this is not my...
What would you choose, Whitney?
Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid. Oh, real big change there, huh? Wow.
Hey, she can't walk, and then she can.
That's true. That's true. Okay, well, I guess Whitney disagrees. I would also say First Wives Club. That was one that was like a gay one, I think. Like seeing that, I remember taping it on VHS on the TV, and it's like my parents were probably wondering like why I asked for a blank VHS to record First Wives Club. And then Jerry Maguire, speaking of Bonnie Hunt, I thought that was like an inspirational movie. You know, like I remember seeing that and being like, I want to be a hard worker. Like,
I want to be a sports agent.
Yeah. Yeah. And I fell in love with Tom Cruise, which I've talked about on this show multiple times. And then for my gay movies, like the ones that I saw and I was like, I'm definitely gay. I have Cruel Intentions because of Ryan Phillippe. I have Joyride because of Paul Walker. Do you remember that movie? And then Casper.
Yes, right. I'm actually still thinking about naming my first child Casper.
You should.
Yeah, maybe, you know, weird spelling since I said, no, I would never
do
that.
Yeah, what would be the weird spelling?
Caspar. Like, throw a Y in Caspar. Yeah. That's like Scandinavian.
When he turned into the boy and they danced, they slow danced.
I think a lot of people fell in love with Devin Sawa.
Yeah. You know,
a lot of little boys.
Totally. For the longest time, I had an MP3 of that song that was like recorded from the movie.
Oh, and then you can't forget like Hocus Pocus. We grew up with like very generous parents. They made really good movies.
You know, later on, I was going to ask you if you and your brother would ever remake It Takes Two or The Parent Trap. But I'll just ask that now. I really want that to happen.
I mean, like a, it'd be
like
fun
a
to
gay
do like
parent
a
trap.
Or a dark parent. Oh, that, you know what? That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
It's a really good idea.
Yeah, yeah, it could be two dads.
See what it's
and
like,
you and your
bro.
Yeah. I love it. Okay, so I want to get into some pop culture topics, some things that are going on in the news. Of course, have Chloe and Tristan. Do you follow that story at all?
Yes, unfortunately.
How do you feel about it?
I mean, give that lady a break, right?
It's so sad.
Yeah.
I know. It really breaks my heart. I think they're in Cleveland right now, and I'm from Cleveland. And I keep thinking, should I fly home? Do I need to get there and be with Chloe? Like, I'm very worried about it. And also, I'm worried, you know, Chloe stayed with Lamar for so long past his expiration date. I'm worried she's going to stay with... What are you laughing at, Whitney?
Died.
I didn't mean death. Maybe we edit that out. Whitney, we need to edit that. But she was still with him too long, right? Like, what, before he died, she was with him. Whitney, what are you shopping? Are you shopping on your phone? Are you shopping? When did I lose you? Whitney's buying a bathing suit. She's shopping at Beverly Beach.
No.
Okay. So would you, the question is, would you stay with someone who cheats?
I mean,
what a transition. Where's my Pulitzer?
Yeah, I feel like maybe this is all about, you know, interrogating this sort of system of monogamy to begin with. Like, maybe we just need to question that. But know, once, what's that saying? Fool me once.
Twice be a lady. I don't know.
Yeah.
The older I get, the more I'm like, I don't even know if I care if somebody cheats.
Just love me. Somebody love me.
Isn't that weird? I'm like, I have enough going on. I don't really even want to deal with like an argument. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. Now, the other big topic I want to talk about is Mariah. Do you like Mariah Carey?
I've watched every up and down.
What's your favorite Mariah song?
My favorite Mariah song? I mean, I think my favorite Mariah song is In Front of the Rockefeller Center Christmas Tree.
Oh, classic. A classic. So in People Magazine, she came out as having bipolar too.
Yeah.
And then this past week, it was alleged her former management filed a lawsuit against her. And it was alleged that they were threatening her to come out with this information. And so she kind of beat them to the punch.
That's awful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awful. And
Mimi.
But it's such a big deal. And I talked about this last week a bit. I thought it was such a big deal for someone of her stature and her generation to come out and so openly talk about mental illness. Because mm-hmm. we've had people like Demi Lovato and Selena Gomez, like the younger generation, they're pretty open about mental illness. Mm-hmm. And Mariah's from a different time, and she's like held up on a pedestal as like this diva, and you know, a lot of her, you know, what she's criticized for in terms of like antics and stuff like that, I think, you know, we have to go back and look at through a different lens. Like, for instance, the TRL incident. Do you mm-hmm. remember that? Like mm-hmm. when she walked out in TRL with an ice cream cart and kind of started stripping in front of Carson Daly. It's like looking through that now, knowing that at that time is when she was first diagnosed with bipolar 2, you know, it almost becomes, does it become, I suppose that's a question, like, is it, can we still celebrate that as, like, campy fun, or, like, her Cribs episode?
I mean, I think, I'm not the expert on this, but I think in some ways you can't, because she's embraced it, and that's what makes her fun, right? I mean, she takes ownership of that, and then by revealing something like she just did, all that it requires is a little more compassion.
Yeah.
Out of her fans and watchers.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
do you call them?
Yeah, her watchers.
Her watchers.
Have you ever, and you don't have to answer this if you don't feel comfortable, but have you ever had any sort of, dealt with any like anxiety or depression?
Yeah, love a good panic attack.
Yeah, you were just mentioning before we started recording that you're moving and you had a little panic attack.
Yeah, I've had, I think mental health is so important, you know, however you can take care of yourself. Unfortunately, it's so damn expensive in this country sometimes. But I've suffered bouts of anxiety and depression, and I've had like pretty debilitating panic attacks before with or without edibles. But,
Yeah. I had two bad experiences with the edibles, and I'm like, I can't do it again.
Can't do it. Yeah. But no, on a more serious note, like absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, what's great is like when you seek help and the more they kind of happen, not that you want them to happen, but you are able to kind of, I was at least able to kind of calibrate myself and become aware of, you know, a change in energy or a peak of anxiety and go like, okay, what can I do? What methods do I have that allow me to kind of have some sort of mindfulness?
Yeah, I always feel like I can feel it coming, and I start to get worried
about
what's coming. Yeah, exactly. And it's like just knowing that you have the tools, and if you've been through a super low point, it's like, you know, you could get through, you've gotten through it once before, so it's like you just have to do those things, mm-hmm. the meditation or the journaling or mm-hmm. whatever it is mm-hmm. to get you through it. But
or the white knuckling.
Yeah. What's your method of like, if you're having a bad anxiety or attack, like what do you like to do?
I think I just, you know, I have to take a time out. Mm-hmm. What do I do? I'll go sit.
Cry in the shower?
Cry in the shower.
That's what I do.
I like have to keep, I think like a lot of it for me comes from overstimulation, you know, with phones going off and ding, ding, ding everywhere. I kind of just have to turn everything off and sit and then talk to myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you been following Kanye West's new Twitter thing?
No. I thought he deleted everybody.
No, he came back.
Oh, okay.
He came back this past week, and he has said that he's writing a novel on Twitter. So he's like, this is my novel. I'm not going through a publisher.
Thank God they upped the character count, you know?
It's like crazy. He keeps putting out new tweets, and a lot of them are great, though. Like, but he said, he's like, I'm not going through a publisher or something like that. I'm like, okay, I'll read them. But one of the things he said, he's like, you need to wake up every morning and spend an hour without any technology because you need to connect to yourself and don't immediately get up and go on your phone. And I immediately get up and go on my phone.
Oh, for sure.
What do you check? Like when you get up in the morning, what do you first do on your phone?
I check the news, which talk about, talk about
better
panic
than me.
Attack. Yeah.
I check Instagram.
I do like a deep meme dive later in the day. Yeah. That's like the second part of my ritual. But I do New York Times, check the stuff, and then, you know, check my DMs.
And now that's very anxiety inducing is the news, because it's like every minute
every
there's something new.
Damn day.
Yeah. Well, Kanye says to take an hour.
I don't know if I have an hour, Kanye.
No, I will never do it. I will never, never do it. But it's an interesting thing. But okay, so now I want to do a little lightning pop culture round. So these are quick, but we can expand on some of them.
Foot and mouth. Here we go.
Yeah, here we go. So who's the funniest boy in the band?
Andrew Rannells.
Yeah. Oh, he is funny.
Yeah, everybody's pretty great, but Andrew's hysterical.
Marry, fuck, and send on vacation. You know this game.
Yeah,
instead
of
kill.
Send on vacation.
Yeah, well, you could kill him if you want.
Oh, that's like the nicest. No, it'd be a lot nicer for me to send somebody on vacation than marry them, trust me.
Well, let's say marry, fuck, kill. Let's do marry, fuck, kill.
Marry, fuck, kill.
Yeah.
In the cast?
Yeah. You can, instead of kill, you can send him on vacation. So that's a little nicer.
Okay.
Okay. So Matt Bomer, I was going to say Bomer, like we're besties. Matt Bomer, Zachary Quinto, and Jim Parsons.
Oh, I would marry Jim. He's so sweet. And
rich too. Big Bang Theory.
And doing very well.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't, who wouldn't mind
Bomer's
Bomer
boner.
Bed?
Yeah. Excuse the pun.
And then Zach.
Send him
vacation.
On vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. 98 Degrees or O-Town?
O-Town.
O-Town, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you followed, this is a side shoot, have you followed Ashley Parker Angel's Instagram?
No, okay. I haven't. Okay. Sorry to miss out.
You need to get on that. I'm going to send you his link.
Okay.
He posts like naked photos all the time now. It's like he's turned into like an Instagram thought, and he's got a beautiful body. I mean, he looks fantastic, but he's totally changed his image. He's also on Broadway, too. He's in Wicked.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, I've never seen it.
His Instagram. You've never seen Wicked?
Mm-mm.
You need to leave. It's so good. Are you going to see anything while you're
there? I am. They were really, really smart. I like to think it was because they wanted us to take in theater. But we do, we have, everybody else is usually dark on a Monday, and we were dark on Sunday, so we can see every Monday show.
What's top of your list? Like what?
Oh, God, that's a good question. Frozen.
Oh my God, Frozen. I heard it's so good.
I don't know what I'll see. I mean, there's so much going on.
I heard the Mean Girls is really good too.
Yeah,
that's new. Okay, NSYNC or Backstreet Boys?
Oof.
See, these are band questions. You get it?
Yeah, I was bigger. I was definitely a bigger fan of the Backstreet Boys back then.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Boys to Men or B2K?
What is B2K?
Oh my God. B2K, they had a butt song. Why can't I think of
it? I love a butt song.
Yeah,
let's go with B2K.
Okay, yeah. this isn't even a band one, so I don't know why I wrote it down, but we're going to ask it. Avril Lavigne or Ashley Simpson?
Ashley Simpson.
Who's your favorite actresses? Like what lady actresses do you look up to?
Like the greats?
Yeah, yeah. Like a Meryl or Nicole?
Yeah,
or...
I mean, Kate Blanchett can do no wrong. Nicole Kidman's been crushing it. Meryl.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give you like...
Bonnie Hunt.
Sure.
Yeah, we need her to come back. Who's a better kisser, Colton Haynes or James Franco?
Colton.
You kissed him in Teen Wolf, right?
I did.
You were in The Leftovers too, right?
I was, yeah.
I've never been able to watch it because I'm prone to depression.
Well, it really tries to pick you back up at the end, you know?
I tried it once and I was like, it's not for me. It's too dark for me. But what's your favorite memory from Leftovers?
I was a fan of the book, so just getting to be in it was amazing. Everybody was really fun. Carrie Coon and Justin Theroux are badass.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed watching them ever since.
Lindsay Lohan or Hilary Duff?
Hilary Duff. Talk about it. Talk about a formative movie. Lizzie McGuire movie.
So good, right?
So good.
Lauren Paolo's love affair.
I mean, that's like my, you know.
Greatest of all time.
My two selves.
Yeah. Favorite Felicity Huffman memory.
I mean, she's fun. She always does these like little voices that are really fun.
Yeah.
When she like talks about her kids, she does this like elf in, elf out, and just like pops out behind stuff. I don't know. I mean, she was sort of the first person I ever came out to in this business when I was like 19.
Oh, interesting.
And she was like, you'll figure it out.
Were you nervous to come out in the industry? I mean, not in real life. I mean, of course in real life too, but.
Yes and no. I felt like I was just tired. I was fucking tired of not feeling like there were a lot of people my age, at least who I knew of at that time, who were out. And I was like, what, guys, like, where are we?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
It's 2015, whenever that was, 2016.
Yeah. And you're helping so many young little gay boys sing. I mean, because Teen Wolf had such a humongous fan base.
Yeah, who would have thought that show kind of, because when we started it, I mean, it was definitely like doing well, but it kind of exploded. It was really weird.
And, so young little closeted gay boys in Ohio are probably watching that and seeing you and following you and being like so inspired that you're able to be out and out and proud and all that. Okay, Mary Fuck Kill.
Mary Fuck Kill.
Nicole Kidman, Reese Witherspoon, and Laura Dern. That's a tough one.
I loved Reese in Big Little Lies. She was
so good.
Yeah. So she could be fun. She loves a glass of white wine. I'm gonna go with Mary. Reese.
Okay.
I wonder, like, Laura Dern might get a little tantric and weird. And then I'll send Nicole on vacation.
Oh, yeah. Nicole.
I don't want to kill anybody.
Do you think Reese Witherspoon and Oprah are actually friends?
I
don't.
Sister friends, I don't know.
I feel like they were just friends for that press tour. Favorite Britney Spears song?
Oof. Yeah, I'm true confession, I'm not a huge Britney fan, but I'm learning.
Charlie, what?
I like missed that boat.
Oh my God.
I missed the boat, but.
Get back on. Bring it back
lucky,
to shore.
Not lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
I never liked that song. Either. But.
Toxic is mine.
Toxic's pretty good.
Okay, so would you rather remake It Takes Two or The Parent Trap? If you and your brother had to play like,
I think we could do a better job with The Parent Trap, but it'd be really fun to redo the whole Olsen's canon, really.
Yeah. Oh my God, I would love that. What should they do with the Sex and the City franchise? Should there be a part three?
In 20 years. 20, yeah.
I like that. Should they reboot Desperate Housewives?
I mean, I think that would be fun.
Yeah. Would you do it if they did it?
For sure.
Yeah. What's next for Charlie Carver?
What's next for me? Gosh, I'm like in the shoot on this play, and that'll be until August.
When does it start on Broadway?
We preview next week.
Wow.
Can you believe?
No.
No, I mean,
I cannot believe.
Yeah.
And then how long does it run for?
Till August 15th.
Wow.
So I've got some really great book rights in my pocket and kind of like in development on those things. And then, you sort of take what comes at you.
Do you like working with your brother, or do you prefer to work separately?
I do. I like working with him more, not that acting isn't creative, but more on the creative side. Like, we've pieced stuff together and, done short films, and we wrote a pilot that we sold. And
that's exciting.
Doing that stuff's really fun. And then acting, I think we just get, like, really mean to each other.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've gotten a lot better about it. Yeah. We're like, what are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing?
Oh, my God.
Cut.
I love that. Charlie, thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah.
Where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at Charlie Carver.
Okay. Got it.
On, I think, Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Big fan.
Yes, I'm a big fan.
Icons, if you're anything like me, you love to spend TV commercial breaks browsing real estate listings. Now, I love watching my favorite shows and also looking up homes, especially the ones that I know that I can't afford. And my favorite app to use is Redfin. When Matt and I were looking for a home, we used the Redfin app to search for homes in the area and within our budget. The Redfin app made it super easy. Now, Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. easier. Plus, if you see something you like, you can book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So Redfin made it so easy to filter out the homes that didn't meet or have the necessities I wanted. I still use it to search for homes close by and in the cities my favorite reality TV stars live. Download the Redfin app to get started. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus, iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow-knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic.
Oh my God, you guys, wasn't Charlie great? I hope I wasn't flirting too hard with him. I just, I got a hall pass. Who would your hall pass be? Whitney's here now. You guys, I'm bringing Whitney out. Whitney, do you have a hall pass? Like someone that, you're not.
I'm not in a relationship.
Sorry. So
hall passes aren't needed.
Sorry to remind you of that. What a dick move.
It's okay.
What a dick move. Well, my hall passes. No. So Charlie's a hall pass. I don't know if I
do. Do you have any others? Like, do you have the top three or whatever it is?
Yeah, like if a Hemsworth came and wanted to you sit on my face, like, yeah, I wouldn't think twice. Certain people, I think, like, you have to just not think twice. And I think I would want Matt to do the same. Like, if Chris Hemsworth was like, hey, do you want to hook up? I wouldn't even feel the tiniest bit of guilt. Like, I wouldn't even think twice about it. I'd be like, yes, of course I'm going to hook up with you. I'm going to tell Matt about it. I'm going to call him after. And I'd be like, oh my God, look, think of what happened. So it's people like that. I don't even think I should consider a hall pass because I wouldn't even feel the tiniest bit of guilt.
But you live in LA, so you could see them again. It's not like you live in Ohio and you run into them somewhere, you know?
I know. Now, I want to talk about Beverly Hills, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and then Roni. Now, the Beverly Hills, it was the finale, okay? And I hate to be negative on this show. You know, I always try to say about, like, what I like or what was good, but there was almost nothing to say that I liked good about this finale. I thought it was one of the slowest, most boring finales. And I posted, like, this little video clip, the meme, you know, talking, basically shading Beverly Hills for being boring. Mm-hmm. And Rinna liked and commented on it. Oh. So even Rinna knows that it's boring.
Yeah.
So this makes me feel a little bit better about talking shit about Beverly Hills, right? Like, so I feel like I have permission this week.
And she was the one that said, where was it, on Radio Andy or something, that she was going to just sit back and let the two highest paid girls, like, try to do the work this season.
Meaning Kyle and LVP.
Which, like, I thought was so good.
So good. And they really should have done work.
Yeah.
So I want to go through this episode. I took notes. The first thing I have, and this, we're going to start on a high point, right? This is a compliment of the show. I wrote down that Dorit's event planner is cute.
I couldn't get past that they were at the trunk club, so.
So you didn't even look at them. Wow. Now, talking about Beverly Beach, I think this line of goods belongs in Myrtle Beach.
And that's
no tea, no shade to Myrtle Beach. I love Myrtle Beach.
No, but it's like a beachside store kind of vibe.
Yeah, or Santa Monica Beach. Like, it's something I would see near a pier. Right?
Yep.
It's something I need in a fashion show. And even, like, the graphic art of the logo, like the cursive, looks cheap to me.
It does.
Right? I wrote down, do I like PK? I'm a little worried about.
Are you on?
You know, he seemed supportive of Dorit, and mm-hmm. I don't think I like him, but I warmed up to him a little bit.
Okay, I'm gonna keep my comment to myself because it would be so negative.
Yeah, well, let's all use our imagination and think of it. Now, we saw Ken yawning in the limo.
And okay, that made me laugh out loud, and it made me immediately think of you, mm-hmm. because I know, you know, we have some dislike of Ken.
Yeah, I'm not into Ken.
We don't need him. But I thought it was very much like in Atlanta when they do these cutaways to Nene's husband, Greg, and they make me laugh because yeah. it's just like, look at these, like, less sensational men, just kind of boring men, or, you know, maybe funny in their own right, but they're not the stars of the show, and just get their little reactions to, like, being in these women's worlds. It makes me laugh so hard. So actually, for that moment, I was like, Ken, yeah, yes.
No, I liked Ken there too because he was the audience surrogate. I thought, that's exactly how we all feel. We're all yawning.
Mm-hmm. He was the Greek choir.
Yeah, so Ken was the audience surrogate at that point. I mean, he was really yawning for all of us.
Yeah.
Now Camille got engaged. That was sort of nice. I would like to see the wedding next season, I feel.
Oh, yes.
Because weddings are always kind of fun. Right?
Yeah. And he must be very wealthy because that rock was ginormous.
Yeah.
So hopefully it would be like a very grand wedding. I would love to see that.
I also loved how Kyle started crying when Camille announced her engagement. Because it's like Kyle can't help but make everything about herself or try to make everyone else's moment her moment.
Yeah.
Like, did you see on Watch What Happens Live, like the night? No, it was the night they had all of the Beverly Hills cast on.
Uh-huh.
I sent you this clip. Like, Kyle kept doing this bit where she, when the tension was on other people and there was, like, fights between other people, Kyle would just, like, fall to the ground. Like, she was doing pratfalls for the camera. And it was, like, it happened more than once. She did it in the main show and then the after show where she just, like, made this, like, scurried face as if, you know, she was real flustered, you know? Yeah, and she was, like, trying to make it real big, you know? She was doing, like, Disney Channel original movie acting. It was, like, trying to make it real big. And then she would just, like, when people kind of looked at her after making those faces, then she would just fall to the ground. And she was in, like, a nice dress and everything. It's, like...
I think she was in leather pants. Sorry.
Either way, though, it was, like, you're still ruining your outfit to do a pratfall for attention.
Yeah.
Just because it was, like, the camera's not on you. And it's just so... Well, she's so thirsty.
She is, but let's be honest, shade is not her forte, right? She's not talented in that lane, and that's fine. So she, you know, we really use her for her extravagance and like her kind of like not funny humor. So like that all aligns. I mean, I would love her to throw in a pratfall like at a cocktail party one time.
Yeah, she should have fallen at the Beverly Beach Dorit show.
Although, okay, I will say, I know you're gonna get to this, but her walking off was pretty good.
Yeah, her walking off was the only thing we kind of got. Yeah. But I just thought it was funny that she started crying when Camille's like, I'm engaged.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have Kyle kind of starting this drama with Dorit, and I thought it was funny because Kyle was just starting drama because she knew the episode needed something. Like, I don't think she was mad at Dorit at all. I don't think she was upset with anyone there. But she put her producer hat on and she's like, we need to start something. Like, nothing's happening.
I agree, but with a huge asterisk. I think she actually cares. Like, really? I think she legit cares because this whole season has been fairly real of her and Lisa and Dorit fighting over their, like, power dynamic within their threesome. But she's not a very good articulator of her emotions, right? Especially when they're more complicated than, like, happy, sad, whatever. So she lets it all brew up, and then she creates this weird jumble of argument that I get that looks like for argument's sake, but I think it really does bother her. But she's the type of girl that keeps it all together. So, like, you know, when it gets the better of her and it kind of, like, bubbles up, she doesn't know how to control it. Mm-hmm. So... But at the same time, yes, I agree. She probably was like, there's literally nothing going on, which might have added to her frustration in the moment. Like, there's nothing going on here, so I have to talk about Pantygate again? Yeah. Like, geez.
I think watching Kyle fight this season has been underwhelming because we've seen her fight with Kim. And her fights with Kim, she's so expressive and, you know, it's much more dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And she's so much more pulled together when she's fighting with someone like Dorit or LVP.
Right.
So now we get to the runway show, and I just thought, I wish somebody would do a pratfall on the runway. Like, it was so fine and clean, and it was fine, but like, it wasn't glamorous enough to be glamorous.
No, because it was at the Trunk Club.
Yeah, it was, like, what are we watching here? It's not, I don't know.
Like, it should just been at Kyle by Island,
This whole season, they've been pushing this lifestyle in front of us. And, like, in a lot of interviews and stuff, we've heard that they're doing more lifestyle this season, and that's what they're focusing on more than drama. And that's great, but then I need, like, full-blown lifestyle. I need, you know, this fashion show, that's not lifestyle I want to see. Like, that's something I could throw at a trunk club. Like,
right, yeah.
You know, like, I need a big New York Fashion Week moment. Or,
yep.
You know, even in terms of the whole scene, I keep mentioning Rinna's rat problem. I don't need to see that. It's like... Yeah. And Teddy, you know, she's a new addition. So it's like, if you're giving us lifestyle, like, why didn't you bring on someone that's like crazy rich yeah. or something? It's like these two ideas of like, we're doing a lifestyle show, but then you're getting the trunk club fashion yeah, show. Exactly. They don't work together.
Yeah.
And then that Beverly Lifestyle magazine, that storyline kind of went nowhere.
I forgot about it.
Yeah.
I thought it might have been from a season prior. And then it seemed like there could have been such good drama there because Lisa Vanderpump just didn't tell Dorit. She seemed genuinely pissed.
What happened
and then
with that?
It just went nowhere. We just didn't hear about it. Yeah.
And Dorit didn't even seem to care at all. Like, she kind of, you saw like a twinge in her eye or something, but it was like, okay, where's the verbal caring?
Well, because they don't want to go toe-to-toe with Lisa.
Which it's exhausting. That's why we need her gone. We need her gone because no one will say anything. I mean, they were literally sitting down at that scene. That was right after the runway.
Yep.
They were all just sitting around looking at each other, waiting for someone else to do something.
Like, yeah.
And the editors were showing us that. And we had the exact same scene at the end of last season of Orange County where they yes. were all at an event and they were all just staring at each other and the camera just kind of went around to each. And no one was saying anything.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we need women that are going to get in there and get in the mix.
Right. They're being too controlled.
Yeah. So Kyle storms off. It was
Which
okay.
seemed genuine, actually.
Yeah, it was okay. But then it also, that went nowhere, too, because then we cut to Kyle's American Woman reveal, which American Woman feels like it's been in production for 35 years.
Yeah. Well, it takes a while.
I know. But then we get to that, and it seemed like that whole storyline was just gone and fixed and fine. Like,
yeah.
It was.
You know what I could have used? A housewarming party at her house.
Kyle's
that,
house?
Yes, because that house looks amazing.
I did love the house.
And I wish they would have just, like, made... You know, I know she does the white party every year, but I wish they would have just forced some sort of big elaborate party.
I thought her house was beautiful. Vanderpump said it looks like a Father of the Bride house, and
yes!
I totally agree. It
yeah.
was, like, an updated version of that, which yeah. I love that Father of the Bride house so
oh,
much.
Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. But that event at her house was just so boring. It was like, okay, we're watching American Woman.
And she was sitting on the edge of the couch the entire time.
And where was Kim? Like, that scene would have been fantastic if they could have thrown some money at Kim and got her at that scene. Because that was where the drama was.
Yeah, like, I want Faye, I want Kim.
Where
I
was
want
Faye?
The real people there in her life to come over and watch the TV show. And instead it was the cast only.
It was just so, I mean, it was just such a letdown.
Yeah.
The whole episode... I mean, for a finale episode,
yeah.
and then we're getting a 3-part reunion, and I hope about. They have something for a 3-part reunion, but I don't imagine what.
I know. What are they going to talk about?
I mean, it's shocking to me that it's 3 parts.
Yeah.
This was the first season of Beverly Hills, and one of the first times watching Housewives that I thought, I don't need to watch this show, and I was almost over it.
I was just scrolling through Instagram while watching it.
Yeah, I mean, I never really fully paid attention. It was like, it had it on. It was just so disappointing. And then, you know... The next night,
mm-hmm.
we got The Real Housewives of New York, and that just brought me back to life. It
revived
me.
It is appointment television.
It's just so good, Whitney. It's so good, and I hate to gush over it so much, but it's the greatest show of all time. It is a fact. It's just the fact of nature. It's the greatest show that we've ever been gifted.
Okay, see, I actually think that's Vanderpump Rules.
Well, Vanderpump is really good, too. If catch me on a Vanderpump day, and I'll say Vanderpump is.
Okay.
I mean, come on. We get them all heading to the Hamptons, Sonia in a jitney. They don't even need drama, God. Whitney. Like, I'll watch Sonia in a jitney for 3 hours straight.
Why was she on a jitney?
I don't know.
That it was so dark.
And her trying to sell us on the jitney.
Yeah.
There were also so many, like, callbacks to other, like, chick lit stuff that I like. Like,
okay.
The jitney was so Sex in the City.
Yes.
Remember, they took the
yeah.
jitney. And Sonia was trying to sell it on us. Then we have Lou in the cheese shop, which reminded me much of Something's Gotta Give when they go to, like, the
yes.
cheese shop. And then there was Bethany's birthday party when she was waiting for everyone.
Uh-huh.
That was so Sex in the City, the Il Cantinori episode.
Yes.
Which is my all-time favorite episode.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's at the end of that episode. That's when Charlotte's like, you know, maybe we could be each other's soulmates. And
yeah,
it's the most beautifully written little monologue moment they have there.
Mm.
Fun fact. I watch that every year for my birthday, that episode.
Aww.
It's like my tradition. It's Carrie's birthday on the show. And I love the end. She's like, I'm 35. I'm 35. And then Samantha's like, shut the fuck up. I'm 140 or something. It's just so good. And then they have that soulmate talk. So there were a lot of these little callbacks to a lot of chick lit that I love in the Roni episode. But we have the cracks in Carol and Bethany's relationship starting
right.
to kind of bubble under. What do you think about that?
There's just so much I could unpack from it. I thought it was very interesting that in the testimonials, Bethany is already kind of staking her claim, right? Like, well, Carol always needs a new BFF, so I've been replaced. Like, that's her take on it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like something happened off camera, like out before the season started, that we don't know about.
Yeah.
Because it seems like such a hard riff that it's not just, you know, the ebb and flow of fun relationships. It does feel more severe. But we haven't heard what Carol's take on it is.
You know, when I interviewed Jules, she implied that there was like one scene she had heard from Dorinda. And she implied that there was like one big scene that happens.
So maybe we hear it.
That between Bethany and Carol that we'll see that they filmed. Okay, we have Lou at the cheese shop, which I mentioned. And then she met a man that I fell in love with, Whitney. Like, I was ready to talk about a hall pass. He's my hall pass.
You have a type.
Oh, what is my type?
It seems like you like...
Basic.
Sure, that's a way of putting it. But a white, tall, from a lanky to a buff range, but sort of like a milky brown hair that kind of sticks up the front.
Oh my God, it's real like specific.
And bright white teeth.
I do like bright white teeth.
Okay.
But I also love a black man. I love all types.
Uh-huh.
I really do. But I mean, we don't get any, unfortunately, any black men on Real Housewives of New York, though it's like the most diverse city in the world.
Yeah.
Or Latin men or, you know, any sort of diversity on.
Oh my gosh.
New York. What?
I forgot one of my favorite moments from New York this week.
What?
When Sonia like outed Ramona for hooking up with her contractor named Mario. Of course, Ramona gave that guy a blowjob.
Oh, see, I don't know. I feel like Ramona's more selfish in bed.
Oh, yeah, actually.
You know, true. I don't see Ramona giving any beaches, blowies.
I have to cut this.
I feel like she calls them blowies. We don't have to cut this. Okay. What do you have to cut? You don't have to cut it. But that's maybe true that I like a lot of, I sound so horny on this podcast all the time, but I do like all sorts of men. But in particular, I fell in love with the blender man.
Yeah.
I mean, he was so handsome. I want him to be in every TV show. I want him to be on Bravo reality, but I also want him in movies. I want to see him in the next Bridget Jones. I want him everywhere. I thought he was just beautiful and he seemed handsome and he owns a hardware store, which is, that is sort of like that fantasy of like, don't you want a man that like owns a hardware store? I don't know why.
I want to date a guy that makes his own furniture.
Mm, like Aiden on Sex and the City. What'd you make of Sonia's dog? Like the dyeing the dog and food with food
as coloring? A dog owner, I am against dyeing your dog's hair.
Then we get to Bethany's, her birthday party, which everyone was late for, which again was so Carrie. And Dorinda showed up in that Cruella de Vil cosplay. And
I loved it.
Dorinda's delivering this season.
Her fashion always does.
And we have Tough Tinsley. I wrote down Tough Tins.
Tough Tins.
She's like kind of got a little toughness to her.
Yeah, this season, yeah. Right?
Like I like spunkier Tinsley.
Yes.
I don't know. This new Tinsley seems great. I like her. I don't know if Carol's just really rubbed off on her or what it is, but I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you make of this whole thanks versus, like, THX versus thanks?
Oh, big deal.
I know, it is
a
big deal, right?
It's a huge
deal. Oh my God, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, this is actually huge.
Yeah. If you text me LOL lowercase,
We
can't be friends anymore. If you text me LOL all capitalized, that's acceptable.
There are
hard rules.
100%. I overanalyze every text or message or anything.
I mean, it's such a direct form of expression, you know, that, yeah, we read into it.
I wrote down Ramona loves that Carol's going up against Bethany.
Yeah.
And I love that Ramona loves it.
Yeah. And I love that she just called it as it was. It's very Rinna-like, actually.
Totally. Now, what do you think Sonia's pill closet looks like? Like, what's... She mentioned her little pill cocktail. She said something about taking depression medication.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be a Yolanda closet. It's going to be more like a Rinna bag of non-labeled pills.
Do you think that's what's making her kookier? Because she keeps talking about how over the summertime she was on depression medication and it made her fat, and then she took herself off of it.
Yeah.
And you can't mess with those kind of meds. Like, taking yourself on and off, depending on your weight, is dangerous.
I mean, I've done it.
We've all done it, but it's...
Yeah, honestly, I don't believe her either way, because I can't tell... I don't know what the baseline Sonia is. We've seen her probably very drunk in previous seasons, with probably meds of some kind. So I don't know what her norm is to really judge. But she does... She seems to be always kooky.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's fame, like...
I don't know. She's also totally a trigger for Dorinda, have you noticed?
Yeah.
Like, she is one of Dorinda's triggers. It's like, Dorinda goes from 0 to 100 in 3 seconds, and yeah, I live for
it. I love it.
But
oh,
she got,
my God.
She got, like, mean. Dorinda got mean.
Oh,
she
yeah.
Was, the thing she was saying, like, your husband left you for your friend, and...
I know, which I didn't know.
Oh, my God, I know. It's never been told on camera before, and Dorinda just went there.
The internet told me nothing.
What else did she say? Something about,
She was like, don't talk about your husband leaving you versus my dead husband, which is true.
It's totally true. Dorinda... God bless her. She just started talking about being in heaven and having coffee. Do you remember
that?
Like,
God,
this
yes.
like whole diatribe where she just went off and she's like, "Well, I'm having coffee with Richard, and you know, we're in heaven, and should we do purgatory or should we do heaven?"
And what I loved about that is like it was an impression of Sonia, and Sonia just looked at her like, "You're crazy." It's like
I know. It was so long. It was like the best elongated bit, and then they just started arguing, and it was just so. So good.
So good.
I mean, the entire episode is fantastic. Anyway, I want to get to my interview with Miss Vanjie. She was on RuPaul's Drag Race for just one episode, but became sort of like an internet superstar. She's memed all the time. And like I said, I thought she comes back. I thought she's got to come back because RuPaul keeps tweeting about her.
Oh.
And she's so in the zeitgeist. And Ru wouldn't just keep bringing it up. And every episode since she was eliminated, they brought her up.
Oh, wow.
So it's like the girls keep talking about Miss Vanjie. They keep saying in the workroom, they're like, Miss Vanjie. So she's become sort of this phenomenon. And so I interviewed her, and usually a phone interview is a lot of times you have a publicist on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So of course I asked if Miss Vanjie comes back. And so you'll hear in the interview maybe something interesting that I'm reading into. I don't know if you guys want to read into it, but I'm reading into it.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, I'm excited for you guys to hear Miss Vanjie. Thank you all so much for listening. Again, follow me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook. It's facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. Go to everythingiconic.com. Check out the Patreon, please, please, please. Supporting the Patreon and pledging some money to the Patreon helps us make this podcast wonderful. And, you know, it helps with these great guests. We're doing some really fun stuff over there. I said I'm recapping season one of Roni, but also we're moving on to, this is exciting, Whitney. We're doing Oprah's Legends Ball. Have you seen it?
No.
I'm going to recap Oprah's Legends Ball for Patreon.
Awesome.
So pledge Patreon, please. It's patreon.com/everythingiconic. Now, please enjoy my interview with Miss Vanjie. Love you all.
Danny.
Hi, Vanessa. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
I'm so good now that I'm talking to you. I loved you on the show, and you've become a phenomenon. Did you ever have any idea that this would happen after just one episode?
Hell no, I did not anticipate. I thought it was the worst thing that could happen to me was getting eliminated first. So I was anticipating the worst.
Yeah.
You know, like, going home first is always hard. So I was worried. So I did not expect to blow up like the way it did.
Yeah. Now, will you be back on the show at all this season?
We are actually going to have to go to the next question.
Okay. No problem. No problem. if there was another All-Star...
Danny, you're trying it.
I'm trying.
I'm sorry.
Let's say there's an All-Star season. Would you do an All-Star season?
If they actually do anything, even clean the toilets or come and help the girls do their makeup, or clean up the stations, I will do whatever they ask me to do. It's Mama Ru, and if she asks you to do something, you just do it.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter what she asks me, I would do it.
Yes. Now, if you were redoing this experience, would there be anything that you would do differently?
Not necessarily. In the beginning, I felt like I wanted to, if I could redo stuff, I would. I didn't feel like I was horrible. I still don't feel like I was horrible. But everything happens for a reason, and you can't really look at what's already happened. You have to just move forward. So I wouldn't change shit. I mean, it's what's done is done, and I went viral. And look, the one that they're talking about the most this season is me so far. So I'm pretty happy.
And you've been mentioned on every episode since. I mean, you're gone but not forgotten. And I think, you know, you've gotten this great platform. What's been the coolest thing that's happened since you've gotten off the show?
RuPaul tweeting about me is the best thing that's happened.
Yes. I love that. Now, who would you like to see win?
My top, if I had to pick a top three, I would do like Mayhem because she's one of my closest friends. I would pick Eureka because I love her and you saw me on Untucked crying on her shoulder. And I would pick Asia because she's like a big sister to me.
Yes. Now, we talk a lot about pop culture on this show in general, and I saw how much you love Christina Aguilera on the show. What was it like working with Christina?
Oh my God. It was crazy. I mean, I was obsessed. And as soon as I saw her, I just started thinking about the Dirty Era, because that's one of my personal favorites when she came out with the Stripped album. So it was like...
What's your favorite Christina song?
Well, the whole Stripped album I love. So everything off Stripped, it's like one of my favorite albums ever. So that was, I would probably say that album is really one of my favorites. Now, I don't really have a favorite song because I love the whole album completely. It's a work of art.
It is. It's so good. So good. Now, what other divas do you like? What other music do you like?
I love Rihanna because she's a badass bitch. I love Beyonce because she's the queen. I love Mariah Carey. I love Britney Spears because she's the queen of lip syncing, and we always have to fucking lip sync.
Do you have a favorite Mariah Carey song?
I don't know. That's so difficult. All I want for Christmas.
A classic.
Right. It's like the national anthem.
Now, when you were working with Christina, did you hear anything about the new album of when we're getting it or anything about it?
Hell no. I kept asking her about it. She's like, it's coming soon. So we'll see.
I hope so. Now, what's next for Miss Vanjie? What else do you have coming up?
Miss Vanjie is going to be touring around the world. I'm going to Brazil, Colombia, Peru, UK. I'm going to every booking they book me. I ain't going to stop. I hit the ground running. Go to my website, Vanessa Vanjie, for the tour dates. I'm selling merchandise. I'm going to be at DragCon selling cookies. I'm going to come out with a web series, hopefully. Like, I'm doing everything I can possibly do to force Vanjie down everyone's throat.
I love it. You don't have to force it. We love it. We want it.
I love it. Well, perfect.
Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. And where can people find you on social media?
Vanessa Vanjie on Instagram, Vanessa Vanjie on Facebook, VanessaVanjie.com for my website, Vanessa Vanjie on Craigslist, Vanessa Vanjie on Eros VIP, Vanessa Vanjie on all Grindr's social media, networks, Tinders, and everything else.
Yes. And are you single?
I am single. We're caps lock.
I love that. I love that. Well, thank you so much, Vanessa. I loved you on the show, and I can't wait to see what's next for you.
Thank you. I'm excited to show everyone what else Miss Vanjie has to offer.
Miss Vanjie. Oh, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too, love.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.